Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our texts for today's sermon is our sermon series is Out of Egypt Through the Water, and it looks at the Exodus text and the Mark reading that were for today. Our Exodus text, of course, reminds us that slavery and bondage, servitude, brutal taskmasters and heavy burdens, daily despair and hopelessness was the way of Israel in Egypt there near the end. This was the land of Egypt for the Israelites. 400 years prior to that, the land of Egypt was a place of refuge, a place of rescue. It was a place that promised food amid a famine. A land that gave the Hebrews a home at the time when things were becoming quite desperate for them. But that had all changed. The Pharaoh had ascended to the throne who did not know or did not care, who didn't acknowledge the great deeds and works of Joseph or care for the Israelites in any way, shape, or form. Now the Hebrew people had become a source of cheap labor, slave labor. Now the Hebrew people were enslaved to carry out the building projects of the Pharaoh. Now slavery and bondage and servitude, brutal taskmasters and heavy burdens were their lot every day. And they groaned under this reality. And even though the Israelites had freely gone to Egypt of their own, journeyed there willingly, and even though they had been blessed in the journey with plentiful grain and a bountiful land in Goshen as their dwelling place, what had once been a good and gracious land had become a place of enslavement. What had once been a place of refuge became a place of pain and sorrow. What had once been a place of life became a place of death. A land of exile where their baby boys were thrown into the Nile River to die. And the Hebrews were helpless to break free and escape from Egypt. The people, you see, they needed a leader. They needed a savior. They needed a leader to arise from their midst, a leader who would gather them together, one who would remind them of who they were, and more importantly, whose they were, who their God was, how He cared for them, that He cared to have a relationship with them. They needed one who would bring them out of this terrible land of slavery and death. They needed someone who could and would stand up to Pharaoh. So God sent Moses. Who could spend time talking about, we could spend time talking about Moses and his abilities or his lack thereof, or at least the claims of lack thereof. We could speak of his training and education, his reluctance. We could speak of his temper and also his wimpiness. Of his lack of desire to carry out the tasks set before him. We could speak at great length about all the things, but God equipped Moses for the task and then sent him to rescue his people. One stubborn Pharaoh and 10 plagues later, Moses and the Israelites finally leave town after 400 years. Moses and the Israelites are headed back to the land that was promised by God to his people from the days of Abraham. However, two obstacles still remained. Two obstacles stood in their way from their return from exile. A large army and a big body of water. Both quite troubling to our minds. Two obstacles, and the Israelites are right in the middle of both of them. Pharaoh and his army coming fast from behind, and the Red Sea directly in front. They are stuck between the rock and the hard place. But God is in control and has a way, a means by which to save his people. The Lord tells Moses, raise your staff over the water, and the Red Sea will part. Miraculously, stupendously, the waters part and the people pass through as though it's on dry ground. As the people go through the waters, they are rescued from the land of slavery and death. The people cross over as they begin their return from exile. And then to tie up all the loose ends and to deliver a message, the water collapses on the advancing Egyptians. Pharaoh and his army are destroyed in the water. The evil is washed away. In the words of Moses, God says to his people, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. And the Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." And so the Hebrew people are saved by waters. This is clearly seen as a foreshadowing of baptism. Gregory of Nyssa speaks this way when commenting on the text. He says, "Again, according to the view of the inspired Paul, the people itself, by passing through the Red Sea, proclaimed the good tidings of salvation by water. The people passed over, and the Egyptian king with his host are engulfed. And by these actions, this sacrament was foretold. For even now, whensoever the people is in the water of regeneration, fleeing from Egypt, from the burden of sin, they are set free and saved. But the devil with his own servants, I mean of course the spirits of evil, is choked with grief and perishes, deeming the salvation of men to be his own misfortune." This is Gregory's comments on the baptism of Jesus. You see, there is life and death in those waters. The same waters that destroy evil Pharaoh and his army save the people of God. The Egyptians are drowned and the Israelites walk by on dry ground. The waters that killed preserve life. This will not be the last time the Lord uses water to destroy the enemy and give life to his people. This will not be the last time the Lord uses water to bring his people back from their exile. A land of bondage, a land of slavery to sin and death, slaves of Satan, enemies of God, enemies. Sin, death, and Satan still seek to enslave God's people to this day. Indeed, working their best on each and every one of us here today. These enemies are successful from time to time, for we groan under the terrible burden of everlasting death. The people, you see, we need a Savior. We need to escape. But at last, we cannot of our own. We need a Savior and a Deliverer to rise from our midst. A Savior who will gather us up and bring us out of the land of exile. We need a Savior who will reunite and restore us to God. We need one who will stand up to Satan and his evil powers. So God sent forth his only begotten Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. And we could spend a lot of time today speaking about Jesus and his abilities. We could speak of his power and his lineage, of his sacrifice and his love and his mercy. But to suffice it to say that in Jesus, God became flesh to dwell among us and to rescue us from the land of exile. Jesus went down to the waters of the Jordan to be baptized by John, not to be washed clean of his sin, for he knew no sin. No, Jesus went down into the waters of the Jordan to take all the world's sins upon himself and then to go out in the wilderness and take them back to the father of sin, Satan. Luther puts it this way, that at Jesus' baptism, Jesus took all the sin of mankind upon himself. This reversal, since baptism cleanses us from sin, makes Jesus the sin bearer. And as with the scapegoat or the sin bearer on the Day of Atonement, Jesus takes those sins out into the wilderness to Aziel, that is to Satan. You see, the obstacle to our return to exile, the dividing wall of hostility that is raised between God and us by sin, death, and the devil is removed. Christ went down into the waters and gathered all sin to himself in order that waters might be cleansed and prepared for our own journey through the waters to the promised land. Just think briefly about how the scriptures use water. In the beginning, life was brought forth from water. But after the fall, the waters also then bring death. We first see a dual reality in the flood of Noah, as the waters of the flood destroy the planet, killing everyone on the planet except 8 souls, Noah and his family. Following the flood, think of Moses, a Hebrew baby boy. The boys were being drowned in the river because they weren't allowed to have them. But Moses was placed in his own ark, a basket, and saved by these waters. We have our text tonight when the Israelites passed through the Jordan into the promised land. The waters were parted again. In this case, the wilderness was the place of death and evil. But the promised land was a place of life and the Lord's presence. Remember the accounts of Naaman and Elijah. As Naaman descended into the waters of the Jordan, a dead man covered with leprosy, but comes out looking like a newborn babe in his skin. Jonah swallowed by a great fish and went into the depths of the sea for 3 days. But then he's vomited out on dry ground with new life. Even Jesus refers to this event as a sign of his own death and his resurrection, as he spends 3 days in the tomb and then rises to new life for us. For us, baptism joins us to this biblical truth, as our old Adam is drowned and the new Adam comes forth. This is why Luther instructs us in the small catechism before we pray to make the sign of the cross. This is why we begin the service with the invocation in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the pastor makes the sign of the cross to remind us that we come into our presence before God through our baptism. Not by splashing more water on ourselves, but remembering the sign of the cross that's made upon our forehead and upon our heart as that water is poured on our heads to mark us as one in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so down into the waters of baptism, each day the Christian is to go. And each day the old Adam is to be drowned in its sin. And that sin is to be washed away, just as it was once again with the absolution declared to us today publicly, instead of us trusting in the absolution that we know has already been spoken. Up from the waters we arise, a new Adam, a new creation, a child of God, an heir of the kingdom of heaven. We come up from the sacramental waters into the promised land of everlasting life. This is how we are returned from exile, returned from the land of slavery, through the waters into the secure hands of God. And no one can snatch us away from God. We are his adopted children, and heaven is our home. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.